Your home for the 80s, 90s, and more. WCFW-FM and WCFW-HD1 Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire. Streaming live on the free Civic Media app. CFW. This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
If you use your phone while driving your car, you may be in danger. A recent report says phone users are nearly 3.5 times more likely to crash than those who stay off the phone. We'll have the story.
The numbers are staggering. We spend billions of dollars on a national level to improve road safety, and about 100 people die every day on the roads.
Then, teenagers who get sex advice from social media sites like Snapchat and Instagram might be setting themselves up for risky behavior.
Anyone can post something on TikTok, so they're quite likely going to be listening just to other adolescents giving them advice on what they should and shouldn't do and what is and isn't safe.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this edition of InfoTrack. Stay tuned. The show begins after this timeout.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Home Depot has everything you need to turn your home into a beacon of holiday cheer. So whether you're going all out or just adding a few holiday touches, we've got you covered with trees, yard decor, and more. Save time decorating with one of our easy-to-assemble pre-lit trees, or pick up a piece from our Yuletide Lane decor collection and fill your yard with holiday joy. Whatever your style, find everything to get your holidays started at the Home Depot.
Football season is heating up on Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So keep the season rolling by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Plus, the app for Prize Picks is really simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. Prize Picks is also available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Most importantly, they don't play about your money. All transactions on the app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today, use code SUNDAY, and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code SUNDAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A recent report says that drivers who use their phone while on the road are 240% more likely to crash. But new technology may improve driving habits. Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. More than 200,000 lives have been lost on U.S. roads just in the past 5 years. A new report from the Governor's Highway Safety Association and Cambridge Mobile Telematics is calling for a bold shift, using predictive analytics to prevent crashes before they happen. My guest is Ryan McMahon, Senior Vice President at Cambridge Mobile Telematics, a company dedicated to making roads safer with advanced technology and AI. Ryan, welcome to InfoTrack.
Thank you for having me.
200,000 is a staggering number. From your perspective, why has it been so difficult to move the needle on roadway safety, and why is now the time for a different approach?
I think that it has become the background, the norm of the roads, that people are in crashes and that lives are lost on a daily basis. I think if you compare it to other modes of transportation, the level of risk is so much higher, but the level of attention that other modes of transportation get when there is an issue, when something does occur, that's the bottom line where attention comes in to solve problems. And yet, when you add up all of the incidents from just, you know, the last year, last 2, 5, 10, The numbers are staggering, but because they come in each individual crash with each individual story, and because each incident doesn't have the level of scale that some of the incidents have in other modes of transportation, it just hasn't garnered the same level of attention. And because of that, I think people have gotten used to it.
So this report or action plan is about preventing crashes, not just responding to them. So can you break down what that shift really looks like in practice?
Yeah, I think if you look at where the cause of the crash has been investigated in the past, most of those investigations are occurring from a law enforcement perspective where their time and attention is really to try to identify the fault of an individual person. And then is there a criminal penalty? Is there liability from a civil perspective? And then the insurance industry is involved after that point with their own investigations. In rare cases, you have folks like the NTSB that will investigate roadway highway crashes. But most of the time, the crash information, the data, the information that we use to identify what caused that crash is originating from a very limited subset of information, a very limited subset of sources. So as a result, the information over the last decade or so points to a very limited number of causes of crashes. And if it doesn't fall within the purview of the officer to identify those elements, then they may go unnoticed. For example, you may have a pavement surface condition that is causing drivers that are braking hard not to be able to gain enough traction to stop in time for perhaps an infrastructure issue that has been present for a number of years after a new building went into construction. All of this information is coming in from a daily source to try to identify what's happening on the roads, but that information isn't necessarily paired with the information of what causes crashes. And what the report between CMT and GHSA has done is start to connect those sources in a way that helps those that are in a position to improve highway safety to ultimately be able to start to use information that can paint a picture prior to that crash occurring, as opposed to waiting for ultimately that crash to happen and then the investigation goes down a path that is fairly narrow in scope.
So it's using tools like AI and telematics risk assessments to actually see or identify a crash before it happens.
Yeah, I mean, if you look in the insurance industry, there's a really good corollary. About a decade ago, the insurance industry started to offer to consumers the ability to have their price calculated based on how they drive, as opposed to their record. Their record is a function of how they drive plus their interaction with the legal system. But in reality, we know that it's rare for somebody to get pulled over. And you could have somebody with a very clean record that's an unsafe driver. They just happen to be in areas where it's not as observable. So what happened with the insurance industry is they started to offer better prices to drivers that were willing to create their own records. Initially, that came in through OBD2 ports where drivers would plug in a device to their car and send it back to the insurance company to assess things like hard braking and speeding. And what's happened since then is most of that sensor technology has moved to the smartphone. And the smartphone has been able to gather that information. So over 50 million consumers are opted into programs that allow them to have their price based on how they drive. And with that element, it enables them the ability to fundamentally get all of the benefits from that safe driving record, but that safe driving record is now a function of their actual observed risk versus the luck that happens from when somebody gets into a situation where they may or may not be interacting with law enforcement. So if that information is helpful to the insurance industry and they're pricing billions of dollars of insurance based on it, then that same methodology can be used on a public perspective to try to identify the precursors to crashes, the precursors to the errors, the precursors that lead to serious injuries and fatal crashes.
But one concern people often raise with data and AI is privacy. How do these safety tools protect a driver's personal information while still being effective?
Yeah, it's a good question. From a privacy perspective, the ultimate information that's used to predict and identify and understand what causes crashes is really not anything about an individual. The sensor information that observes elements like hard braking is looking at the preponderance of concentrations of those activities within an area, and then helping to identify and understand what's underlying that condition. From a privacy perspective, no individual information is needed to identify that. And really, when it comes to privacy, the main component, and it's just discussed fairly well in the report, is removing the trip information from the incident. So if an incident is a heartbreaking event, for example, and you can start to identify and gather where a preponderance of those heartbreaking events are occurring, you're not seeing where that trip occurred. All you're seeing is that at a particular stretch of road at a particular time, there is a concentration of heartbreaking events that are occurring in that particular area. You don't know who, you don't know what type of vehicle they're driving, you don't know where they started or when they ended their journey. You just know that at that particular place, there's a concentration. And this is pretty interesting because you can start to build a picture of what's happening on the road without ever knowing anything about the individual. And in fact, it's a step forward in privacy because for a long time, a lot of the efforts that have occurred in road safety have been focused on identifying the individual, identifying the people, and trying to build patterns around different subgroups of individuals. And there's certainly people that are more represented in serious injury and fatal crashes. But the reality is that we know that there really is no safe or unsafe driver. There are safe or unsafe trips. And if you can break down the components of those safety elements away from those drivers, then from a privacy perspective, all you're seeing is where those incidents are happening. And then allows you to look at it from a different perspective. And we've been able to find things that are pretty eye-opening from that approach that are fully guarding of an individual's privacy. Ultimately, every time there's a crash, even if it's not a severe crash, it certainly impacts everybody else on the roads.
Ryan McMahon with Cambridge Mobile Telematics. Thanks for joining us today on InfoTrack.
Thank you.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
Next, sex advice from social media. That story as InfoTrack continues.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Football season is heating up on Prize Picks. Now you and I make decisions every day. But on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So keep the season rolling by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Plus, the app for Prize Picks is really simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less in their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. Prize Picks is also available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Most importantly, they don't play about your money. All transactions on the app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today, use code SUNDAY, and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code SUNDAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Snapchat and Instagram are popular social media sites for teens, but the sex advice offered on those sites is often faulty and can put young adults at risk. Here with the details, InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Eric Anderman, professor of educational psychology at The Ohio State University and co-author of a study on why some social media sites are linked to risky sexual behavior in young teens. Professor, your study lists five social media sites geared toward teens interacting with peers, that is Snapchat, Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, how did these interactive sites impact teens' behavior related to sex?
So what we found was when teens use those particular kinds of sites with the specific goal of trying to get information about anything related to sexual well-being, sexual health, sexual risk, over time, over the five waves of this study, their intentions to have sex. So we asked them, you know, how likely are you in the future, you know, to have sex? Those increased. And we also looked at their ability to negotiate the use of condoms, and that went down, which is not a good thing. You want that to go up. And we also finally looked at their ability to refuse unwanted sex. So if a partner is trying to push them to have sex and they want to be able to say no, their self-confidence and their ability to do that went down. The interesting thing was, though, that for the refusal, it actually didn't go down as much. It was higher if they also used an informational website. So that kind of buffered the effect.
And your study, in fact, did compare these interactive sites to several others viewed as more informational, which include YouTube, TikTok, and Google. Now, what more positive outcomes occurring for kids seeking information from these sites did you note?
For that, we noted increased condom negotiation efficacy. So that was their ability to, again, with a partner, negotiate the use of a condom, insist on, if we're going to do this, I'm going to use a condom. And all of this happened for students who were already being exposed to a medically accurate curriculum. So this was over and above that.
Give us an example of some of the false messages that these interactive sites might be more likely to amplify.
Oh, there's all kinds of messages out there. I mean, the interactive sites, you're actually interacting in many cases with peers who may be giving you false information. For example, they may say, oh, you can't get pregnant the first time you do it. Or they may be recommending forms of birth control that may be less effective than they're purported to be. So just all kinds of information that just interacting with peers or whomever happens to be on the other end might provide you with.
So do kids hear one thing and take it as gospel, so to speak, or do they look at multiple sources and fact check?
That's a great question. Some of them do, some of them don't. I mean, that's one of the things that I think we really need to do a good job in this world of social media and with artificial intelligence of teaching students how to be consumers of all this information and how to fact check. The Google generation, you know, you see it on the web and you just assume it's true. Even informational websites don't always provide accurate information, but the interactive ones seem to be where there really are problems occurring with regard to the outcomes we looked at.
Let's drill down on that a little bit. I think some of our listeners might be curious to hear you include TikTok as one of the informational sites. There's so much conversation about sites that are ruled by influencers, and we don't know if they're influenced by any business relationships that they may have. How reliable a source, in general terms, would TikTok be? How informational is that?
Well, it was classified as informational because for the most part, you're watching something, you're watching a video, but anyone can post something on TikTok. And many of us, I've looked at TikTok and there's all kinds of things up there. And, you know, most of the videos are probably not videos put out by MDs or the CDC about sexual health. TikTok, you know, there are algorithms and they direct people to see videos that are in whatever they are interested in doing. So they're, you know, quite likely going to be listening just to other adolescents who are giving them advice on what they should and shouldn't do and what is and isn't safe.
We're visiting with Eric Anderman, professor of educational psychology at The Ohio State University and co-author of a study on why some social media sites are linked to risky sexual behavior in young teens. The journal Health Psychology published the study. Now, your study looked at 7th and 8th graders from 21 urban middle schools in the Midwest, and they were enrolled, as you indicated a moment ago, in a curriculum at school on sex called Get Real. Professor, why aren't curricula like these convincing enough so that kids believe the information they bring rather than what's on the interactive sites?
That's a great question. They are convincing, and the students do learn from these. So overall, students who were exposed to the curriculum did improve on a number of these outcomes. But what also happens is they're not doing this in isolation. So, you know, they're then using social media throughout their lives when they go home, in between classes, all the time. So what seems to be happening is that this use of social media, particularly the interactive type, seems to, in some cases, I wouldn't say override completely the curricula, because what we found was that there were some really good things that happened for kids who were exposed to the curriculum, but when they used interactive social media, that diminished some of the positive effects a little bit.
Professor, do you think schools are providing enough sex ed and early enough to help children make good choices?
Well, to answer the second part of your question first, early enough, I'd say no. What was unique about our study was we were actually doing this with middle school students, with students in the 7th and 8th grade, which isn't always typical. Often students get this kind of information in the 9th grade. And data show that by the time students are in the 9th grade, many of them have often already engaged in unprotected or risky sexual behavior. So in terms of whether or not the schools are actually doing enough of this, you know, this varies so much by state. Some states have health standards for what should be taught in school. Some states do not. Some districts offer this, some districts do not. And a lot of this has changed in recent years, with parents arguing that schools should or shouldn't be teaching certain content. So it varies tremendously by school, both in terms of what the curriculum that's being taught is, whether it's being taught at all, and the age at which it's being taught, and who's doing the teaching.
And indeed, we do have a lot of parents listening to this show. How would you counsel parents on what to say when talking to their young teenagers about getting information about sex on social media?
What I would say is, if they want to get that information, that there are some places that probably are more accurate than others. And I would gently warn them that there are a lot of sites and a lot of sources out there that give incorrect information. One of the things that we know from research is that when parents actually talk about these kinds of things with their kids, often the kids will listen. So my advice would be, I know you're probably curious about these things, and there are certain sites, and let's look at them together just till you find them, to make sure you're looking at sites that are reputable and that have, you know, reasonably accurate information. An adolescent realistically is not going to want to look at the site probably with their mom or dad. That's going to be awkward. But helping them at least to guide them to the right places is a huge step in the right direction.
Professor Eric Anderman, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Whatever your vision for holiday decorating, the Home Depot has what you need to bring it to life. Like our warm white holiday lights with steady lit technology, so your lights stay glowing even if one bulb fails. Whether you're going for a soft warm glow or a colorful display of holiday cheer, choose from our wide variety of holiday lights starting at $5 in store only. Find everything you need to get your holidays started with the Home Depot.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A balanced look at today's most important issues. This is InfoTrack.
Our guest today is Dr. Grant Ho from the University of Chicago, and his recent study finds that most company cybersecurity training doesn't actually stop people from falling for phishing scams. Your study was about the effectiveness of cybersecurity training programs, and it found that cybersecurity training had little effect on reducing phishing risk. Were you surprised by that?
Yes, we were. We actually started the study hoping that we could find some training that improved things significantly, but unfortunately, that was not what our study showed.
What was the difference, if any, between the employees who had recently completed the training and those who hadn't?
So for the annual training, this is the thing you get every year that's required, there was basically no difference between users who recently got the training and users who had taken the training long ago.
Wow. Were there certain types of emails that fooled people more than others?
Yes. So we had 8 phishing emails over the course of 10 months, and there was a huge variance in how strong some of the phishing emails were, how good they were. Some phishing emails only got 1% of people to click. Others got up to 30%. And the topic surprised us. We couldn't really predict which topic would be more effective. There was just naturally a lot of variance in how persuasive some of them were.
As far as the training materials go, you found that 75% of users spent less than a minute with the training materials. Does that say something about how these programs are designed?
Right. So this embedded training where you get training after you fall for a phishing attack, it seems to be ineffective in part because you said users don't really engage with the training. And I think that is an inherent limitation of this kind of training. Users don't want to be doing security training when they're trying to check their emails. And so naturally, a lot of users will close this kind of training program, which limits how much education and benefit they can get from it in the first place.
Is there some difference between compliance training and real learning when it comes to preventing these attacks?
I think so. So I think for compliance, you know, if you're required to do the training, you're probably not going to absorb it because you're probably just going to play that in the background or click through it very quickly. Real learning, I think, requires users to be interested or engaged in learning the material. And that's something we don't know how to do in the current training set at large scale.
Dr. Ho, why is phishing still such a major problem after 2 decades of anti-spam technology?
Phishing is very hard to detect both automatically through technical means and by humans. And it's very simple for attackers to form these emails, right? All you have to do is come up with a convincing topic that sounds very appealing to a user, and you'll be able to convince them to sort of click on the email and do some bad action. So for attackers, you don't need any sophisticated technical knowledge. Anyone at home can try and come up with something, a lie, basically a very clever lie, to fool someone. And users are going to fall for lies, you know, all the time as they do in real life. And so technically, it's a very simple, low barrier to entry, but very effective way to get users, employees, to do the kinds of bad actions you want as an attacker.
The healthcare sector, why is that such a high value target for cyber criminals?
So unfortunately, you've seen the rise of ransomware attacks, where an attacker will break into an organization, basically destroy or disable machines and data at the organization, and blackmail and extort that organization to pay this large ransom to restore access to their systems and services. And this rise of this form of attack has made healthcare a particularly big target because healthcare systems, they need to have access to their computers, their hospital machines, the patient data to save people's lives. And so unfortunately, targeting these kinds of organizations is very lucrative because these organizations have to have their systems available as soon as possible.
Dr. Ho, based on your findings, what do you think companies should do differently to make cybersecurity training actually effective?
So I think right now, there really needs to be more research to study how can we address the fundamental issues we found with training in our study. One big issue that we've talked about is that people are not doing the training when they receive it, right? They're not interested in doing this training material. And also another thing that our study showed is that not necessarily getting training when they need training. So these are based on the design of how this training is delivered. And we don't really have a good way or know how to make this more effective and make it more engaging. So users are actually absorbing the knowledge. I think the other thing that's challenging too is that phishing is just hard for people to detect. Even I'm a security expert. If an attacker tried really hard, I'm sure they could write a phishing email that would fool even me. And so our study in part suggests that companies should not just rely on users to protect themselves and their organizations against phishing attacks. There need to be other technical means that don't rely on the user to have to make the correct decision every time.
Dr. Grant Ho from the University of Chicago. Dr. Ho, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That'll do it for this edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening. Join us next time for another edition of InfoTrack.
Thank you.
90s, and more.
105.7 CFW.
1, 2, 3.
Were made for 105.7 CFW.
Caught up in a web of lies, but it was just too late to know. For your news, weather, sports, and the latest throughout the Chippewa Valley, check out 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap is where Chippewa Valley relies on the latest information to stay informed and up to date on what's happening in our area. For news, weather, and sports, 24 hours a day, rely on 93.5 The Tap.
Fall brings cooler days and hotter savings with 105.7 CFW Big Deals. Now's the perfect time to stock up on gift certificates from your favorite local restaurants. They make the perfect stocking stuffers and give you a head start on your holiday shopping. But hurry, once they're gone, they're gone. Go to WCFW.FM, click the Big Deals banner, and save big this October with 105.7 CFW Big Deals.
Vanity Fair calls BritBox a delicious streamer. Collider says everyone should be watching. Catch Britain's next best series with BritBox. Stream acclaimed new originals like Code of Silence.
You read lips, right?
And Linley, based on the best-selling mystery series.
D.I. Linley, take it from here.
And don't miss the new season of Karen Piri, coming this October.
You don't look lip, please.
I'll take that as a compliment.
See it differently when you stream the best of British TV with BritBox. Watch with a free trial today.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mainly sunny for today, a high in the low 60s. A mostly clear sky tonight, low in the upper 30s. And more sun on Monday, a high in the upper 50s. After that, rain chances return for Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Currently it's 37.
CFW.
CFW, streaming 24/7 on the free Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
1057 CFW.
1057 CFW.
WCFW FM and WCFW HD1, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the entire Chippewa Valley.
Pacific Media Radio Station.
80s, 90s, and more. 105.7 CFW.
CFW. Chippewa Valley.